It's high noon in New York and time for Kate Smith. Brought to you every day except Saturday and Sunday by the makers of Grape Nuts, the cereal which makes even a light breakfast the right breakfast. Here she is, Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. Several times during the last 8 weeks, I've passed the remark that I am summering in the Adirondacks. I was thinking this morning that I have been making very much of an overstatement when I say summering. For honestly, I never remember a summer being quite like this one. Yesterday morning, the thermometer on my front porch was down to 32 degrees. And believe me, that's chilly for August, or for any other month as far as that goes. But who cares? It's really gorgeous here in the mountains, and if you have never seen tall trees in the forest starting to change color, by all means, try to see this beautiful sight. You will never forget it. Yesterday, I went to what they call a lawn party up here in the mountains, one of those lovely affairs where a table is set out under the trees and everybody sits down to a real feast. But I'm not going to talk about the menu. I want to pass along to you an idea I picked up there which seems to me to be very original. In each corner of the tablecloth there were four good-sized pockets, and each held a small fieldstone to hold the cloth so that even a strong breeze wouldn't blow it about. I've often been to picnics and seen just what usually happens when the wind does blow up the corners of the tablecloth and tosses them into the dishes. And I think this little pocket idea is really a very useful hint for those who like to eat out in the open. So don't say that I didn't tell you about it. Here's a letter I received from a young fellow who's been on KP duty for the last week or so at a scout camp. And he says, it's not exactly my favorite job, but there are a few good things about it. Whenever I hear the chef planning breakfast, I get him to put in grape nuts. Boy, oh boy, how I go for that swell grape nut flavor.
Well, that's what I like to hear, Kate. And folks, that's exactly what we are hearing from more and more people every day. Yes, millions of Americans enjoy that distinctive, malty-rich Grape Nuts goodness every morning. And once you've tried Grape Nuts and discovered that tempting, sweet-as-a-nut flavor, I know you'll be a Grape Nuts booster, too. You see, Grape Nuts are blended from two delicious grains, sun-ripened wheat and malted barley, first baked and then toasted to bring out all the grand zest of each. And Grape Nuts flakes are every bit as inviting and luscious as Grape Nuts because they give you that same blended flavor in crisp, toasty brown flakes. So you ask your grocer today for Grape Nuts and Grape Nuts flakes.
And now, Ted, what's new?
Well, last night and in the dark hours this morning, London and Berlin traded stunning aerial blows. Press Association dispatches from both capitals today indicate that the German attack on Great Britain was one of the heaviest nights of sky warfare since Adolf Hitler began throwing waves of bombers at the British Isles. The German High Command today asserts that their raids caused great destruction to aircraft and arms factories in the Birmingham, Kingston, and Coventry areas of England. London admits many civilian casualties and substantial property damage, too, including some damage to two industrial establishments in the Midlands. London had two night alarms. But while the Nazis were dealing out sledgehammer blows from the air over England, Britain's Royal Air Force bombers were winging their devastating cargoes into Germany. Waves of British planes attacked important objectives in northwest Germany, the heavily industrialized Ruhr, and in the hours after midnight, zoomed over Berlin itself. In London, the Air Ministry said that the Berlin attack was directed against the great munitions plants which feed the Nazi war machine. Official Berlin claims that an incendiary bomb which dropped on a flower nursery was the only one which fell on the capital. Nevertheless, veterans of bomb attacks on other European capitals said that they heard thunderous explosions amid the crash of anti-aircraft shells, and to them, the explosions sounded as if they might have been caused by high explosive bombs. But whatever the damage caused by the Berlin attack, it brought the sound and feel of warfare to the capital of the Reich more vividly than ever before. British planes droned over the center of the city, over the new chancellery, the foreign ministry, the propaganda ministry, and other government buildings. The citizens of Berlin huddled in air raid shelters for 3 hours and 1 minute, while the din of what seemed to be every last anti-aircraft gun in the city roared into action against the British invaders. From the center of the capital to its suburbs, where several bombs fell, Berlin last night felt war from the sky. But intense as was the defensive fire, only one British airman is claimed to have been bagged. London today claims to have shot down 55 German planes yesterday. 34 of them are said to have been downed when a flight of 130 Germans tried to raid the Dorset coast against fierce Royal Air Force opposition. Britain admits the loss of 13 planes, but says that 3 of the pilots landed safely. Berlin counters by claiming that 72 British planes were felled with a loss of only 14 of their own. Here at home, the important news still continues to center on defense. A Washington dispatch reports the claim by Senate supporters of the Burke-Wadsworth or conscription bill to 51 votes. Now, this would, of course, be 2 more votes than are needed for the bill's passage. And this was taken to indicate that the passing vote very likely will come this week. The United States begins registering an estimated 3,600,000 aliens tomorrow. All post offices are reported ready for the job of fingerprinting and questioning. As high an average as 36,000 persons a day can be taken care of, it is said. And the deadline fixed by Congress for the completion of the survey is December the 26th. Now, each alien is compelled to give a full personal history on a blank containing 15 questions. Aliens under 14 must be registered by their parents or guardians. All must state the names of the organizations in which they hold membership, the full record of military service, and whether they have been engaged in behalf of a foreign government within the last 5 years. However, Earl G. Harrison, the registration director, says in a statement today, "It is not the intention of Congress to start a witch hunt or a program of persecution of peaceful and law-abiding aliens." And he warned those who are required to register against registration racketeers who fraudulently offer to make registration unnecessary for a fee. And here's a late news dispatch. In New York City, Representative Dyes, chairman of the House Committee investigating un-American activity, said today that he had positive evidence that Germany, Italy, and Russia are flooding this country with propaganda. The propaganda, according to Dyes, is designed to disrupt our national defense and prevent American aid to Great Britain. And that, at the moment, is what's new.
Today isn't a holiday that's marked in any special way on our calendars, but it is a red-letter day for every woman in the United States, because it is the anniversary of the right of women to vote. It was just 20 years ago, on August 26, 1920, that the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, granting suffrage to women, was proclaimed to be in effect. Of course, in several states in the Union, there were women voters before 1920, but it wasn't until that time that the right of women to vote was nationally approved. Since then, the part played by women in politics has become increasingly important, and while there are those who still contend that a woman's place is in the home, still this privilege of casting a vote is one that should be exercised by every woman in our land. Because those who are elected to office are responsible for the laws that affect homes, women, and their children. While I've never been described as an ardent feminist and have no desire whatever to engage actively in politics, still I do earnestly believe that it is important to the welfare of our nation that no American woman should shirk the responsibility of voting and making it her business to learn enough about the workings of our government and the records of candidates for election to public office so that she can cast her vote intelligently for the common good. So today's date is a little reminder to all of us women that registration days will soon be here and that in order to vote in November, we must register at whatever time is set aside in our particular community for this purpose.
Say, Kate, do you do much reading these days?
Oh, I sure do, Ted. There's nothing like plenty of good books when you're on vacation, you know.
Well, I'm not thinking about books right now. It's something else. Something every woman would enjoy reading and then doing something about.
Well, what's that?
Those delicious recipes printed on every package of Grape Nuts. Now, honestly, wouldn't they set your mouth to watering just to read them?
You're right about that, Ted. But believe me, the real joy comes when you serve some of those tempting treats. Ladies, what's your favorite? A platter of muffins? A creamy pudding? A fruit bread? Or a tray of ice cream? Well, whatever it is, you'll really perk up your recipes when you add that luscious, malty-rich grape nuts flavor.
Yes, indeed. And there are a variety of exciting recipes on every Grape Nuts package. And I think you'll want to try them. Grape Nuts muffins. Fragrant Grape Nuts fruit breads. Velvety smooth Grape Nuts ice cream and creamy baked bananas. That distinctive Grape Nuts flavor makes new combinations a big success. And old favorites even better than ever. So you ask your grocer today for a package of Grape Nuts. And then don't fail to try some of those recipes real soon.
This evening, at the stroke of 9, a campfire will blaze against the Manhattan sky from a rooftop on East 29th Street. And in the firelit circle, a group of youngsters will listen to wonderful stories of Western plains as only an old Indian scout himself could tell them. That campfire will be blazing on the roof of the Madison Square Boys Club. And the boys around the fire will be neighborhood boys of poor families. Boys who couldn't get away to the regular summer camps this year. The Indian scout will be Swift Eagle of the Toiwaw tribes of New Mexico. On the street below the roof, tenements crowd close to each other, and old men sit on the steps in slippered feet. But on the roof, there are stars and stories, potatoes baking in the fire, and marshmallows toasting over the embers. A boy, if he closed his eyes to the shadowy outlines of skyscrapers all about him, could well imagine himself in a clearing somewhere in the forest, a real camper in a real camp. When the story hour is over, the boys will snuggle into cots inside tents pitched right there on the roof, and the wind will blow the tent flaps just as it would in any wilderness retreat far from the city. Then it's good night, with the 2nd Avenue elevated trains rattling through the dark, lulling the boys to sleep with the clickety-clack of their wheels. Sharply at 6:30 tomorrow morning, a rousing bugle call will bring the campers to their feet. They'll raise the American flag into the morning haze and pledge their allegiance anew to it. They'll cook their own breakfast, then fall to at a dozen different sports until 10 o'clock. The roof is then open to other club boys, and camp is over until the next campfire is lighted and a different group of youngsters gathers around. This little camp, high above the busy streets in the heart of the city, grew out of the boys' fondness for building fires and roasting potatoes. The director of the boys' club realized the yearning that fills all boys' hearts to sleep now and then under the stars, to stare into the glow of the firelight and find pictures in the dancing flames. And so the rooftop camp became a reality, a haven to take poor boys off the city streets. And while it may be just a drab rooftop to some, it's a small patch of wonderland to a lot of youngsters when night spreads a veil over the dust and heat of a great metropolis and Swift Eagle weaves his stories of the Old West. It doesn't take much money or much time or thought to bring happiness to the hearts of small boys. And I think something of the glow from that rooftop campfire and the glow in their little faces must be reflected in a very bright and shining light in the hearts of those who give what they can to fine organizations like the Madison Square Boys Club. And now I see it's time for me to be on my way, but I'll be back with you all again tomorrow at the same time. So until then, thanks for listening, and goodbye, folks.
You have been listening to Kate Smith, who comes to you Monday through Friday at this same time with a quarter hour of news, comments, and stories. Until tomorrow, this is Ted Collins saying, for a breakfast that's nutritious and delicious, eat Grape Nuts. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.